Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Brock Cannon Podcast, and I'm your host, Brock Cannon. It's I'm laughing because it's been a minute since I've done the podcast. In fact, full disclosure, I think it's been probably close to a year since I podcasted. So here's the thing. I, like many who have attempted to start podcasts before, who are influencers or thought leaders, I think had a set of rules that my podcast ought to be a certain way. You know, you have to have a minimum of one a week, or, you know, whatever the preset societal accepted frequency of a podcast episode is. And honestly, guys, I just got like overwhelmed with it all. Because I wasn't making it manageable. And I'm going to come back to that thought in just a second. But, you know, life can take over very easily. Gosh, this last year has been crazy. Moved a couple of times. Tried a different state out. moved back. And now getting ready to move again at the time of this recording. So it's, and then add on top of that, having a one-year-old baby girl who is very, very active and keeping me on my toes all the time. So I think I just got to where I had to look at my time, look at my energy output and say, you know, is this worth it? And so you're probably wondering like, all right, well, why are you starting up again today? What's the deal? And I started up again today because I got super inspired by listening to a podcast by John Kim, aka The Angry Therapist. And if you don't follow The Angry Therapist, I highly recommend his stuff. What I love about him is how he makes self-help or personal development or life advice or even relationship advice just very, very not confusing, if I can phrase it that way. Just like very digestible, very real, very authentic. He's just a normal guy who I feel am kindred spirits with because he also has a little girl about the same age. So, yeah, just good stuff. But, you know, today he was talking on his podcast and he said, you know, there should be no shoulds in life is what I jotted down. And for him, you know, I started listening to his podcast recently because I noticed his episodes were shorter. They were more like bite-sized, okay, I'm a busy person. I don't know if I have the full two-hour commitment right now. But there's an episode that's 15 minutes. Awesome. So I would listen to that and just loved his stuff. And also, have you ever listened to a podcast where it's like, you know, a full two-hour one and there's just so much in the episode, you're like, I need to like re-listen to that like four more times, take notes, and like set aside hours to really digest this. And that's awesome and amazing. And I'm sure, no doubt, like at some point I'll have a super epic guest where, you know, they're talking for 2 hours. But like a lot of times I think that the average person can only digest a little bit amount. So bite size. So anyway, back to The Angry Therapist, John Kim was saying, you know, you kind of define what's your normal. And he's like, you know, I decided if I was going to do a podcast that I would just talk and not always have guests and just like freestyle it, not have fancy equipment. But like whatever would get me to do it was the answer. And I think that's like such a takeaway for all of us. You know, anytime we're trying to make positive change or instill new habits, it's not these like monumental moments where, you know, the latest and greatest trend is, you know, take that trip down to Peru, do the ayahuasca ceremony, and you come back a transformed person. And I'm not making light of that. I would like to actually try that myself at some point. I have a lot of friends and people that I know that have had amazing experiences doing plant medicines. My point being, you can't do some ceremony every day and reset your life, but you can take small steps forward, bite-sized steps. in moving forward in your dreams and your goals in life. So yeah, my question to all of us would be like, what is something in your life that you can just take a small step forward in? What would seem so seemingly easy that it doesn't feel overwhelming? Let me give you guys two examples from my own life. Maybe I'll even pull out a third example here. By the way, everything that I do here is just freestyling. I have like two or three bullet points in front of me of a couple of thoughts I wanted to share, but it's all freestyle here. So enjoy that. So a couple of examples of that in my own life. So recently, I decided, Brock, you've really been slacking in push-ups lately. You know, I used to have pretty regular routines where I'd, you know, try to do like, you know, 50 to 100 over the course of the day, but just like really got out of the habit. So I always try to trick myself and thinking, all right, get down on the ground right now, Brock, and just do 15 push-ups. 15 push-ups, typically for me, it's not hard. And I don't like have that as something hard in my mind, like, oh, I'm going to get on the ground and suffer. You know, if we're doubling that, you know, I might start to feel it at 30 and I might not be as inclined to get on the ground and actually do my push-ups. But if I can trick myself into doing, you know, just quick rounds of 15 push-ups multiple times throughout the day, you know, you do that three times, there's 45 push-ups. That's 45 more push-ups than you did yesterday, probably, you know. So it's a way to trick myself into doing that work. Or sometimes I'll do the same with like lifting weights. I have a kettlebell in my backyard that I look at frequently throughout the day. And I know that if I just say, all right, I'm just going to do a few swings, or I'm going to lift it a certain way and do a few reps, whatever seems manageable gets me started. And then look, great. If you do more than that and you're feeling like you're in the flow, then awesome. Then you do more. The second thing, and this is like so big as someone who is not only a student and practitioner of breath work myself, but as someone who teaches and guides other people with breath work and does workshops and things. The biggest thing that people ask me is like, all right, that was a really cool experience. I feel really euphoric after that. But like, how do I implement breath work in my everyday life? So my big thing again, like, and listen guys, I full disclosure, I love breath work. Like I'm obsessed with breath work from the sense of that you can literally change your body's biochemistry within minutes or sometimes even seconds. How you can feel completely different when you start it. You might feel like shit, feel tired, exhausted, stressed, worried, whatever. And literally within minutes, you can feel the opposite of that. Energetic, euphoric, happy, centered, calm. It's incredible to me. Like, and I just get so excited about it because most people are spending copious amounts of money to change their state through drugs or alcohol or whatever, or the latest pharmaceutical. I meant to say latest. But yeah, like to be able to do that on command and it's free and you don't have to go anywhere, you don't have to do anything, you can just tap into that. Just breathe. Just breathe. So my thing is just 10 breaths. Just 10 breaths. Just 10 breaths. I trick myself all day and saying, okay, like right now I'm moving stuff out of the garage and all around, like finding myself tightening my shoulders, you know, maybe getting tense, maybe getting tired. So I just trick myself, just take 10 breaths right now. You know, it might be like 4 seconds in, 4 seconds out. It might be 2 seconds in, 2 seconds out. But literally within 3 to 5 of those, you start to feel different. Try it right now. You know, do 3, 4, 5, or better yet, do 10 breaths. So that's how I trick myself with that. And, you know, you can do that with just about anything. You can do that with just anything that's positive in your life. Like, oh, I don't feel like cooking. All right, well, maybe I'll just cook the broccoli. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's no rules. You know, there's no rules that you have to cook a 5-course meal for your family every night. Like, what could you do that's still, like, maybe healthy and delicious, but doesn't take an hour and a half, that's so daunting, you know? So, and what do we do when we don't feel like doing something, or we can't motivate ourselves to do something? We take the easy way out. We take the drive-thru at McDonald's, you know? It's like, so what small steps can you do in your life to trick yourself, to compel yourself to take positive steps forward? Think of a few things. Maybe something will resonate and hit. But yeah, the last thing I just want to share. So this last month, as I mentioned, has been so busy and hectic. And, you know, we moved out of northern Idaho. We spent the winter up in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. You know, in full transparency, like, really, we were exploring places to get out of California, and, you know, ended up giving it a try and kind of went in thinking it would be awesome. And, you know, at the end of the day, like, wasn't really the fit for my wife and I and our little family. Just kind of culturally, and, you know, the weather all winter was really, really gray. Now, I will say I absolutely loved jumping in cold lakes and ice all winter. Like, that was really fun. And taking hikes out in the pine trees. Like, there was so much that was beautiful. So, like, if you're in Coeur d'Alene, or you're one of my homies from Coeur d'Alene and you're hearing this and rolling your eyes, don't get me wrong. Like, there's so much beauty in that area. I am just saying, for my wife and I personally, it ended up not being a fit. And, like, you know, I think I knew that. Seeing my wife a few months in pretty quickly, like, ooh, this is going to be tough for her. Short days, really gray, dark, very, you know, and I know the summers are the complete opposite. So, you know, maybe we just were there at the wrong time, but, like, more the, some of the other cultural things, like, just weren't a fit for us. So anyway, my point being, we moved back, to our place in Santa Barbara, only to find out that we had to be out of our place by the end of the month. Long-term landlords lived in New Zealand. They were moving back suddenly. So, whew, pressure. Got to move. Got to find a place. Here we go. So on top of that, I ended up taking a job, which was something I hadn't done in a very long time, like a traditional job. And, it, you know, I was on board initially with the mission. It was something in the wellness space, but kind of like a blend of a tech company and very much a startup. And anyway, without divulging the company's name, I'm going to, you know, protect them and just tell the story and more for the lesson here. But, you know, I interviewed with this company. Just absolutely loved and resonated the guy that hired me. He was the director of sales, you know, big into yoga, long hair. It was just like, I got on Zoom with the guy and I was like, this guy's going to be my homie, you know? And a lot of the times I think, you know, jobs or gigs or whatever we're doing, like, so much of it really comes down to, like, who are the people you're working with? And so I got into it and I, like, gave this job my all. It's basically a sales / kind of consulting role. Got to talk to wellness practitioners all day. Like, was having a lot of fun. Things were really great for a while. And then, like, about a little over a month into this, all of a sudden, one morning, the founder comes on and basically announces that the director of sales is leaving or getting fired or whatever you want to say. And it was just like a shock to me because I really respected this guy. He'd been there a while and, you know, this was like crazy startup mode, you know, lots of problems, lots of kinks in the technology, like everything. And I don't know, it just like really, really rattled me when he left. And I kind of had seen some other red flags as well, which you don't always see right from the get-go. And anyway, I ended up having a conversation with him and just said, hey, man, I haven't been here very long. Like, be really honest with me. What's your perspective? And this job was like many startups kind of in the tech space, oftentimes for founding employees, they'll offer an equity position or stock in the company, which is really cool. But obviously, a lot of them don't make it. So it can be a very dangling carrot for employees. But hey, if it does work out, in many cases, it can be a huge payout. And so my first thought was, if this was such a good gig, why would this guy be leaving? You know, if he was going to get the promised $2 to $7 million in the next 5 to 7 years, why is he leaving? And there was a multitude of reasons, had to do with the founder. And so, yeah, I did a lot of meditation on it, a lot of just sitting with my thoughts and really just tuning into my heart and what my heart space was telling me with it. And I ended up resigning. I ended up leaving. And it was like this weight was lifted off my shoulder the next day. And I'd been incredibly stressed. My wife was going nuts, you know, like she's trying to pack up a house and I'm on Zoom calls all day back to back to back to back. And yeah, it just was very refreshing to leave. This last weekend, we went out to the desert in Joshua Tree for secular Sabbath, which was incredible. If you ever get the opportunity to go to secular Sabbath, it's music, it's art, it's just a very cool kind of conscious event that usually is connected in some beautiful spot in nature. So definitely check that out, secular Sabbath. And anyway, 2 days in, I just felt like my nervous system was completely realigning and returning back to baseline, just like seeing the full moon come up over the mountain with these Joshua trees and the sunsets and being able to walk with Shannon and just talk and just not feel like rushed, you know, and kind of returning to nature, which, by the way, I think that's a huge tip I would always remind us as humans of, is that anytime typically we just are in that like overly stressed mode or need to rebalance the nervous system, just get out into nature. That's it. Like, just get out in nature. Just like walk. You don't have to plan a big thing. Just like get out of nature. If you live in a city, go to a park. Like, just get out there. And it's like, if you just get yourself there, nature does the rest. Nature always delivers. That's why it's like one of the main things that I just tell people to do. Like, you want to heal anything in your life, just get into nature more. Start paying attention. We're a part of this whole planet thing, and people seem to forget that. And we seem to think we can invent our own ecosystem when really we're already a part of it. Just immerse yourself in nature. So anyway, big tip there. And the last thing I would say, you guys, this was super random, but I felt impressed to say this. As I was opening up my voice recorder here, I saw a plethora of archived voice recordings that I had done. And I don't know, maybe you're not like me to where if you're on the go and you have like an idea or a thought or someone you should call or something you need to do, you'll just like record a voice note to yourself. I still do that, not as often, but whether it's your voice memos or whether it's your notes or whether it's actual journals, go back and like look through those. If we did that every day, I think we forget as humans to go back and count the gold which we have assembled. And I'm not talking about bars of gold. Great if you have assembled bars of gold. I'm talking about like the ideas, the thoughts, the impressions, like these magical moments in this large collection of your life, you know, like tap back into that. You know, when you wrote that down at one point, you were inspired. Maybe you'll look back. Maybe you will. You'll look back and be like, I think I was kind of off with that. And sometimes we are. But even if that's the case, then you can draw parallels and say, wow, look how far I've come on my journey. Like, look how much more evolved as a thinker I am now versus those old notes. But sometimes, you guys, like, you've had moments where your life is totally flowing and you look back and you read those notes in those journals or on your iPhone and it's like, whoa, that's super cool. Like, I need to do something with that. And isn't it just like, if you think about it, such a waste if we don't go back through all those like magical notes and recordings? And, you know, the same thing goes for books that have like really made the difference. Like, you know, your top five books, like, why not reread those? So anyway, that's what I would have to offer for everyone today, you guys. I will continue to jam out these little mini episodes. You know, maybe I'll have a guest on. Maybe it'll just be me. But regardless, my objective is just to bounce out some good thoughts and hope that it's received. Hope that it helps someone somewhere. That's it. So thank you guys for listening. Beautiful rest of your day.